Thank you. Welcome to everyone. On today's call, we have Tijani Benjema, Olivier Crépin-Leblanc, Holly Reich, Jeff Annan-Tillichsing, Sylvia Erlein-Leite, Van Vodrani, Wolf Ludwig, apologies noted from José Arce, Darth Brun, and Julia Moronet. From staff, we have Sylvia Vivanco, Heidi Ulrich, Matt Ashtiani, Julia Charvolin, and myself, Gisela Gruber. I hope I haven't left anyone off the roll call. If I have, please say so now. And if I could also please remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you, and over to you, Sylvia.
Okay, thank you, Gisela. Well, we have this agenda, and we need to approve it to include or to exclude any item. As many of you answer my email doing comments about different items, I think the best way in order to cut or not any item is to read the agenda and decide it. And I would like to say about the item number 3, as you see in my message, I were listening the last meeting, and maybe I'm wrong, I don't know, but I think we have discussed it in Durban, and I don't know if you have any add to say about in-reach, outreach, or capacity building activities. So I would like to know if we would like to talk about this item 3 or we can cut it.
Darlene Thompson?
Yeah. Joined.
Hi, Darlene.
Hello, Darlene. How are you? It's Sylvia here. We just started the meeting. Welcome.
Hello, all. I'm very sorry for being late. I had a meeting that ran over, so I'll be listening now. Thank you.
Okay. No problem. So we are trying to adopt the agenda, and I'm asking you, what do you think about item 3? Can we cut it, or do you like to keep it?
I should raise my hand. Tijani has.
Tijani, okay, please.
Okay, thank you, Sylvia. Tijani speaking. I think that we have a long agenda, 7 items. And if we need, if we want to go in depth in those points, perhaps we can suppress the item number 3. Even if for the capacity building, perhaps we have to speak a little bit about. I don't know if we can do it now, because what we said in Durban, we didn't do anything more. So, yes, we can suppress the item number 3.
Okay, thank you, Tijani. And I have Wolf disagree with that. Okay, perfect.
Me too. Okay, hello, this is Fatimata.
Okay, Fatimata. Welcome, Fatimata. We are waiting for you.
Thank you. And I also agree with Tijani. Hello, everybody.
Hi, hello. Fatimata.
Okay, hi. Perfect. Do Fatimata, I know only, she can only stay with us the first half an hour. I would like to start with item 6, if you permit me. Because in Lacrallo we start a discussion in order to sign the MOU with our rear, LACNIC.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of concerns regarding the scope of this MOU. I would like to, Fatimata, could explain to us a little more about the process of signing of that MOU, and, for example, who had the idea of that, and was easy to be in touch with them, or some issues we were talking about in last Lacrallo teleconference, You said in your MIU, like, AFRINIC shall provide financial management and administrative service. So we can you tell us something about that?
Thank you. But I would like to know how important is that for LaSalle? I mean, is this information will help them sign an MOU, or I would like to understand better.
You mean about my question?
Yes. Is this question for you or for LaClaro? Hold on.
Repeat, please.
Is this question for you or for LaClaro?
It's for... I say it's for LaClaro because we already have a wiki page, and that question I'm asking you is already in the wiki page. So we have our teleconference. We have a lot of misunderstanding about the meaning of the MOU. And as you tell us in Durban, you already signed it with AFRINIC, that's why
yes.
I'm asking you that, only to have an idea how was the process.
Okay. So this is what happened. When we decided to organize, to reach out to other, to universities and local end user organization in South Africa. We tried to raise funds and we succeeded in raising funds with Google, but then there comes a huge problem about management of the funds. Because we couldn't give it to ICANN, we couldn't have it in one of the ALS, and we don't have an Atralo recognized status. That was one problem. The second one was about organizing, the logistics, contacting people, booking planes, hotels and all that, all the travel, all the ICANN travel is doing for us, because ICANN travel was not, it was a very short notice, that was one thing, and the other thing was that it's not giving their mandate to do that for us, to manage other funds outside of ICANN. So, and we were really looking like crazy, how are you going to solve it? We even thought at some point to have my ALS manage it, but it's not possible to be in Senegal and do it. And Tijani's ALS could not do it either because it's from Tunisia. It was a really headache. And that's where we thought of AFRINIC. So we contacted them and asked for that, and they said, well, we can do it for you because you do it for other organizations for the Africa region. And that's how the thing started. We already had some working relationships with them with the African Internet Summit. And Afalo was invited for a workshop, a session, and that was the first partnership we had. So that was one other point. And this is why we had to put all this together, not only the financial management of the funds we got from Google, and this will give us a framework for future funds Afalo would be getting to have them managed by AFRINIC. So that's one side of it. The other one was how to work together to undertake digital activities for end users. So that's about it. So we set the framework. And we're working towards a capacity building program for end users, for example. So this is really a global framework where we'll be able to work together to achieve goals we even don't have right now. Okay. So that's what it is.
Okay, thank you, Fatimata. Now it's more clear.
You're welcome.
And can I ask to the other leaders, okay, maybe Holly, please, you have the floor.
Thank you. Yes, first, thank you, Fatimata. After the discussion, I had a preliminary discussion with somebody from APNIC, their sort of PR person right under the CEO, and he was, I suppose, very happy to discuss the concept of an MOU, and he said what he wanted was some feedback as to what was in it. What APNIC already does is offer a number of free training. They offer online courses. They actually do workshops and so forth. So mm-hmm. I think the relationship we would have with them would be a little bit different because they already do workshops, they already do a range of stuff. And his question was, well, what is it that we do that you're interested in? And so what I was planning to do at the next AP Rallo meeting would be to say, well, please everybody have a look at the APNIC site, particularly their training, and see what is it that you're interested in capacity building, and if something costs, then it is likely that they would either discount or pay for the costs. But a lot of it is just free, and they do it on their own bat. So I think our relationship with them will be different, but they are keen for us to define what it is they want, and that's why I found the discussion that Fatima has had on this very interesting. I just think each Rallo will have a slightly different relationship with their RIR. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Holly. And that's what I was asking to you, if each Rallo are thinking to take and to sign an MOU with their RIRs. So I would like to know about the other Rallos, what if they are thinking to sign too. And we have Tijani asking for the floor. Please, Tijani.
Yes, thank you. Tijani speaking. Fatimata explained you what triggered the signature of the MOU. But the MOU wasn't about a specific action. The MOU is a general framework. And to implement the help they gave us for Durban, we signed another agreement, which is based on the MOU. And now we are preparing other agreements for other actions. What I mean now is that we are the MOU must be the general framework of the relationship between the RIR and the Rallo. And I think it's very, very, very important thing for at large and for the Rallos. Even before Durban, in the summit, in the African Internet Summit, which is organized by the AFRINIC, they gave us the opportunity to organize an AFRALO session that we conceived, we organized, and everything was very good. And it was a pity because we had personal problems to go there, but we were expected to intervene not only in our session but also in other sessions. So I think that as much as we have a good relationship with the RIR, we will have more benefit for our ALSs. Thank you.
Okay, perfect, Gishani. So it's good to know that you now we are preparing another MOU.
No,
no. Sylvia.
I think. Okay, please
Sylvia,
explain me again.
I say again that the MOU is a general framework that we
framework,
sign only one time. And based on this MOU, each action or each operation you want to do with the rear will perhaps need a special agreement for it. That's what I said.
Sorry, my mistake. Okay, perfect. Thank you. Thank you for that. Okay, I don't know. Darlene wrote here about Narralo. I don't know if you want to say something about Narralo, Darlene.
Darlene Thompson, no, I'm just amazed at the progress that the other regions have made, and I feel like Narralo is really lagging. We need to do better, so that is something I am definitely going to work on, and thank you very much for all of your comments, because, frankly, we hadn't even thought of it, so we're going to do better on that. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Darlene. And I don't know if Wolf would like to say something about Narralo, about that?
Yes, I can. It's Wolf Ludwig for the transcript. Actually, Darlene, this doesn't mean that other regions are far more advanced than Narralo is. We discussed this issue, this option, some times ago, but we never had any, let's say, concrete situation to enter into any action with our regional IRI, which is RIVE-NCC. We do have close cooperations for other projects like the European Dialogue on Internet Governance, EURODIC, where RIVE-NCC is a sponsor since more than 3 years. We do have cooperation and sponsoring from RIVE-NCC for EUROSIC, what is the European Summer School on Internet Governance, but we didn't have it so far in closer conjunction with Narralo. But as the idea was brought up in Durban and a particular session was scheduled on this issue, we discussed with the CEO of RIVE-NCC what about formalizing a closer cooperation between Narralo and RIVE-NCC, and they expressed strong interest to enter into such a discussion and such a cooperation. Then we got the sample of an MOU from Afralo, and I would like to thank Fatima once again for forwarding this MOU, because for us it offers a great framework which cannot just be taken one-to-one for any other region, in my opinion, but can offer a frame for discussion. So we will forward it as a discussion paper to RIVE-NCC, asking them whether they would agree to this type of an MOU, whether they would like to go into more details, whether it should be shaped as a basic framework, as we just heard from Afralo, what is the case there, and all further cooperation, all further projects, etc., will be dealt with in different agreements on the basis of the MOU. This, I think this is going basically in the right direction and offers some very helpful advice to Narralo. And in the next couple of weeks or the next month, let's say until the end of this year, it's our goal to accomplish such discussions and to come up with some concrete results. and we will of course keep you informed about any further steps. And perhaps one opportunity could be RIPE NCC has a regional meeting in Europe beginning of October in Kiev, a couple of days before the next Ukrainian IGF, and we will ask RIPE NCC whether they could offer some financial support to one or two Uralo members to participate in regional IGFs, in such national IGFs like the Ukrainian IGF and others, because these IGFs offer for us a great opportunity for any next outreach, etc., in a particular country. And as you all know, up to now, we never could afford to go by our own means if we are not invited by the organizers, etc., not paid by the organizers. But if RIPE NCC could provide some travel assistance, etc., in this direction, would be already a great starting point. And so we are grateful for any other advice and ideas, etc., and we will continue working on this. Thanks.
Okay, well, perfect. Good news. Darlene, would you like to talk?
Yes, thank you, Darlene Thompson. Wolf, thank you so much for that information. That's perfect. I too want 2 points, actually. One, I would also like to see copies of the MOUs. If Fatimata, if you could send me the copy of your MOU with your RIR, that would be so helpful for us to be able to start a dialogue with our own RIR. Also, I was wondering if anybody can give a quick rundown, very, very quick, as to now Wolf did mention the travel that would be a benefit, of course, to Uralo. That's a huge benefit. But what other cross-sharing things could we do? Like, what benefits could, say, Uralo get from the RIR? But what also could we give back to the RIR to make it a beneficial win-win situation between the two? Thank you.
Okay, Darlene, thank you. Any comments about that item?
Fatimata?
Yes, Holly, please.
Yes. Fatimata, just before I leave.
Fatimata first.
Okay, thank you, Holly. I think didn't we share the MOU draft? It was just to see La Claro. Yeah, maybe you can share this with the other Uralos too.
Yes, I have posted the La Claro one on the chat. This is Silvia Vivanco for the record. And I would post the Afralo one as well, Fatimata, and I can send you, Darlene, the both right.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you, Silvia.
Yeah, it's too sad I have to leave, but I'm very happy to have you, darling. We miss you, and I hope you're doing fine now. Hello to everybody, and goodbye.
Thank you, Fatimata.
Thank you.
Goodbye. Thanks. Bye-bye, Fatimata.
Okay. Next.
Holly, do you want to say something, or?
Yeah. I would say, first of all, I'd like to support the idea that everybody gets a copy of the MOU, all of us, so we are operating from the same base, and that will be very useful. In terms of, I think, benefit, Darlene, it's a little bit hard to say, but look, in the ICANN structure, if you think that we are all part of the same structure, and we sometimes forget that. But this is, I suppose, in a multi-stakeholder organization, which is essentially what ICANN is, to assist multi-stakeholder participation, I would think would be very useful. And I think the benefits really are going to differ because of the different offerings and the way that the different RIRs operate. I think in terms of the APNIC, because of what they do, which is an awful lot of training, it may be that our individual ALSs can help them, both in terms of, I suppose, participating in the training, but indicating the needs for outreach in particular areas, which will assist them. That was my thought, Darlene.
Okay, thank you. Wolf, please.
Yes, it's Wolf Lutschig again for the transcript. Referring to Darlene's questions on potential benefits or why should IRIs be interested to closer cooperate with RALOs, we found out on the European level, since we started our cooperation at the Eurodic level, that RIPE entity realized that so far they have acted in a rather isolated matter, concentrating possibly too much on the technical community. And they realized that their concerns as our regional internet registries, they represent one particular point of view, but they haven't included in the context of a multi-stakeholder model, they have not so much included so far other points of view and the concerns of the internet users. And they realized more and more, and this is a novelty, so to say, because some years ago they wouldn't have taken us so serious. But since Euralo became a major player and a major driving force for Eurodic, they more or less realized the relevance of Euralo on the European discussion platforms, our close contacts with the Council of Europe and other relevant European institutions, and suddenly they realize there may be a benefit and maybe some added value in a close cooperation and exchange of opinions between the two. And this, in my opinion, is a perfect ground and a starting point to enter into a closer relationship. And now to figure out and discuss in details what could be the mutual benefits for long-term cooperation between the two. Thanks.
Thank you, Wolf. Darlene, you can speak now.
Oh, thank you very much, Wolf and Holly. That really did help. I guess what I'm also looking for, and you're right, even just to start a dialogue is so important because we haven't had that dialogue. And I'm very ashamed to say that Aaron actually started the dialogue with Neuralo in that they have a fellowship program, and they sent it to us and said, could you put this across your mailing list? So obviously they are interested in us, and we just haven't followed up, and I'm very ashamed to say that. So I would love to hear what the models are, if not on this conference call, but maybe, you know, in emails, to say what kind of sharing that is happening within the other RALOs to the RIRs are happening right now, so that I can get a fuller idea of this and to propose it to the Neuralo, since this is obviously not being done here. And I'd like to present this in a way that will make people go, yeah, we need to sit up and listen and do this. So I'm hoping I can get the support from the other Rallos to help me to do this, because you guys are obviously doing so much better than this than we are, and we need to do this big time. So thank you very much, all.
Thank you, Darlene. Tijani, please.
Thank you, Sylvia. Tijani speaking. To respond to the question of Darlene about the benefit, the mutual benefit, I think that the RIR will also need our help. And first of all, when we signed the MOU, it wasn't for benefit. They are not looking for benefit. But in fact, they will have benefit, because I will give an example. You know that now, especially in our region, we have a problem to convince people to migrate to IPv6, to IPv6. And
yeah.
The AFRINIC have members in each country of the Africa, but they are they are more technical entities, more administrative entities, and they are not able alone to convince the users, all the users, because we need we need to outreach to all users, because it is they are the users who will decide to migrate to IPv6, we as Afralo, we have ALSs in almost each country, and we can organize events to outreach to the users, to the companies, all kind of users, and to convince them of the benefit to migrate to IPv6. And I think it will be for the benefit of AFRINIC. It is not the only way they will get benefit. I think that any cooperation, they are convinced of that. They want to work with us, and I am so happy for that, because people there are very open and very, they understand very well the role of the end users. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Tijani. I think we are done with that item, and I would like to ask Sylvia to send us the two models we already have, but I would like to say that Lagralo model, it's only a copy of Afralo model. So I think we can concentrate it in Afralo model, and it's okay. Right? Okay, so I think we can go to talk about our action items. As you know, now we have a special wiki page where we can get all the action items, and from there we have two for this meeting, and the first one is about the ELSS application form, and I saw Holly answer something in my email talking about this point. I don't know if she wants to say something about that action item. Please, Holly.
Thank you, Sylvia. Yes, I did have a little look at the action item. I think the when I was trying to remember the discussion at Durban, I think the question of accessibility was really the how do people find out where the form is, and is that. Is it clear? Now, I was supposed to talk to Dev, and maybe Dev can add to this. I think my problem is I found it so easily I didn't understand that was the problem, so I was a little bit confused about the action item. I also had a look at the application form itself. It might be simplified a little bit, but the information that is sought is the sort of information that we as
as ALAC and ALSs actually need in order to, you know, to make a decision on individual applications. So I'm not sure where what further we have to do. But Dev, if you are on the phone, I'd appreciate you having a comment on what we meant, because I was a little bit puzzled as to why we thought the form wasn't particularly accessible. Thanks.
Thank you, Holly. I don't know if Deb, would you like to say something about that? Okay, we have Tijani. Please, Tijani, go on.
Yes, thank you. Tijani speaking again. In Durban, we spoke about the application because it is in a Word format, because it was not
yes.
online, because there is not all the information required, so that we will not ask if this application is valid or not, because you remember when we got applications, and then we looked after and we saw that perhaps it's not a good application afterwards, because there wasn't inside the application all the information we may have to be sure that the application is very good. So this is what we discussed in Durban. I think that we have to look at the content of the application, but also we have to think about putting it on online and using another format, etc., etc. Thank you.
Thank you, Tijani. Dev, please.
Okay, this is Dave. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Thank you. Devananti Lakshmi speaking. Well, Tijani touched on the key points that Garth was raising, was that the form was just a doc file that somebody had to download, print, and fill out manually, and then scan it in and then email it. And, you know, that kind of, so he wanted to make it online so that it could be an online form where you fill it out online and then click submit and all the information is sent. So that was his key concern on that point.
Okay.
I agree that perhaps you need to look at updating the form a little bit. I'm not sure about subtracting information, though. I think all of the information is important and does need to be asked in the first place, for us to make an appropriate decision whether to accredit them or not. But that's it.
Okay, thank you, Dev. Please, Wolf.
Well, it's Wolf Ludwig speaking again for the transcript. I was surprised when I got to know that finding the proper application form on the workspace, I checked it, and it's easy to find on the Uralo workspace, so I never conceived it as a basic problem or barrier in the whole procedure. There is another point of concern that came to our mind, and actually this was raised last year when we had an applicant from Europe, from Switzerland. It was a Swiss Privacy Foundation. They sent the application form, and as you all know, this goes into a due diligence procedure, etc., until the regional advice is asked, and until it's getting certified by at large. And then the Privacy Foundation pointed me to the elements that the DD forms, which contains confidential information, are openly sent via emails, and they are easy to be retrieved by any Google research, etc., what is, according to their feelings, violating any basic principles of confidentiality, etc. And as a matter of fact, immediately afterwards, they withdraw the application and didn't want to become member of Uralo. And I wrote this to at large staff during the procedure, and I asked whether this could be treated in a better way to provide a better confidentiality during the DD procedure, etc. And I consider this as a far more relevant problem than the point of accessibility to the application form. So for my point of view, for European feelings, accessibility is not the key issue. It's a question how we can assure a better confidentiality during the DD procedure. Thanks.
Thank you, Wolf. So I think we have another action items related to Railo's policy development, and I saw Wolf and Holly send something by email. I don't know if they want to say something here to be on the records about that. Holly, please.
Before we do that, I'm just wondering how we sign off on the issue of the form, because there are, to me, two issues. One, I really do remember the discussion, and when I think about it, a Word document is really not something we should be doing. Is there an action item that is about not only being able to fill a form in online, but then to ensure confidentiality? Is that, I think that maybe there's an action item on us to look for solutions on both of those areas. Anyway, that said, when we look at the workspace, it wasn't clear to me what we would want to put on it, because we have a policy development page, and I really don't want to have lots of policy development pages because, you know, people won't know where to go. So before we have a cross-Rollo page, I'd want to be really clear as to what it does, the sorts of things that are on it, and the way it's used. Otherwise, it's going to be yet another page and it won't be populated. So my thoughts were that it would be used for things such as the action items and discussion on what we talk about in this meeting. For example, we would talk about content use. We might talk about how we progress accessibility, but I don't think I want to call it a policy page. I think that's just confusing. I'd like to have it simply as a kind of a workspace for cross-Rollo. I think that's the summation of what I had to say, and I think Wolf agreed with me, but I'll let Wolf say so. Oh, he's got his checked off. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Holly. Yes, Wolf, I agree, and me too. And I think we need to talk to think about that. I don't know if Wolf wants to say something about this. Something.
Well, if you ask me directly, Wolf Ludwig again for the transcript, let's make it short. I completely agree with the reasoning of Holly. Please keep in mind we are insiders, and insiders, we can overlook the variety of existing spaces, but for outsiders and newcomers, any high number quantity of spaces is easily getting confusing and doesn't offer much orientation. Therefore, my approach to this question would be not to create for each particular need a new workspace, workspace, but trying to optimize existing spaces where we can offer new information in a more structured way that they are easily to access and can be found by interested people. it's not so much the quantities that counts. I think it's far more the quality. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, Wolf. Dave, please.
This is Dave. Well, actually, I do agree with what Holly is saying regarding using specific action items. You know, keep it within the cross-relo workspace. I just kind of realized that are we moving away from the application form? Because my comment is more directed towards that. Okay, very quickly. Okay. So my question was with regarding Wolf. The thing is regarding due diligence forms and so forth. That typically those aren't supposed to be shared publicly in the first place. I think what happened before was that Relos tend to post those due diligence forms up onto the public list, which in retrospect probably should not have been done. So my thinking is, though, is that the information that regarding the application form should be... Oh dear, I'm sorry I'm breaking up on you. But my final comment on it is that what is currently listed on the form, I think should be public. That's it. I'll stop now.
Okay, thank you, Dev. Please, Darlene, you have the floor.
Darlene Thompson. Gang, Dev, I really wanted to hear what you were going to say. Up on me. Yeah, so I guess I'm forwarding one of Garth's concerns, which may not necessarily reflect my own concerns. And if he's worried about should the form be a Word document, well, no, Word documents seem to be out. So how should we be doing this? Should it be an online form or what? So I think he would like to see if I'm reading his mind properly, is to get what type of form should we have there. Should it be an online form, which I think is what he's pushing for, or what should it be? I guess that's my question to the group. Garth isn't here, so I'm kind of, as I say, trying to read his mind and push that out there.
Okay. Thank you, Darlene. Because we have only 4 minutes, I would like to say, in Durban, we raise the necessity to have an at-large regional leadership meeting in order to prepare the Atlas II. And I would like to suggest not to have a separate meeting. I don't know, what do you think, but I think we can manage maybe to have half an hour of our secretariat meeting to talk about only about Atlas II. So maybe we can have a 1 hour and a half meeting instead to have another separate meeting only to talk about Atlas II. I don't know, what do you think about that? We have only 4 minutes. So, Darlene, please, you're the first one.
Darlene Thompson, yes, I think that would be an excellent idea. I would gladly give my time for that. Also, I'm wondering what the privacy concerns are in regards to the way that we deal with the new ALS applications right now, because right now they're only given out to the ALAC internal group, which includes the leadership. So that seems to be fairly private to me. And I'm just wondering what other concerns there are. And I'm sorry if I'm playing catch up here because I wasn't at Durban, and I'm sorry for the stupid questions. Thank you all.
Thank you, Helene. Okay. I see Holly, it's agree, I think, about to have a one hour and a half meeting. I don't know if anyone could agree with that. Yes, Dijani, thank you. So maybe we can ask to Gisela or Sylvia, maybe we can prepare a Google to have, I don't know,
yes.
In 4 weeks,
we can have the next meeting. I think at least we have less than a year to London for this, so maybe we can have a monthly meeting, so maybe Gisela can do it.
This is Silvia Vivanco. We will send a doodle for a monthly call for this Cross-RALO Secretariat meeting, and I just wanted to mention that I think Heidi will also have a special organizing committee for Atlas too, so perhaps it may not be necessary to have half an hour of this Cross-RALO meeting dedicated exclusively to Atlas II, perhaps less time, because we will have a special meeting for the Atlas II events. Correct, Heidi?
This is Heidi. Just to clarify, there is already an Atlas II organizing committee, and it's very well represented by all of the RALOs. And I assume that as in Durban, and as we get closer to the London summit, that there will be a formal meeting of this organizing committee. So I didn't quite follow the suggestion of Sylvia. Was it to not have a regional meeting in Buenos Aires, but to go into the OC meeting, the Atlas II organizing committee meeting?
No, I asking that because Jose in Durban suggests that we have a separate meeting, all the leaders of this in our secretariat meeting in Durban. Jose suggests that. And that's why I'm asking you, and I'm suggesting not to do another meeting because we have a lot of work already, and I know we have a committee organizing that, so that's why I'm asking all you about that.
Okay, so this is Heidi again. So just to clarify, Jose is asking for a meeting of all of the RALO secretariats with the organizing committee, or just a regional secretariats meeting?
No, for an organizing
a combined committee. One, a joint one.
Yeah.
Woo. Ah, got
so
it.
So that's
okay.
Why I'm asking you, because I heard the audio from the Durban meeting, so that's why I'm asking all you.
Well, could we possibly suggest to Eduardo and Olivier, who are the co-chairs of the Atlas II organizing committee, whether there should be a joint meeting of the RALO secretariats and the Atlas II organizing committee, maybe in a two-hour meeting, so all issues can be discussed?
Yeah,
Olivier,
good idea, or maybe it's not necessary, so...
Olivier, could I ask for your thoughts, please?
Olivier is agreeing, okay.
It takes a little while for me to unmute. It's Olivier speaking. I'm open to any of the meetings, really. If you think it's going to be helpful, it's Olivier here, by the way. If you think it's going to be helpful to have such a meeting, then let's go ahead with it. Sure.
Okay. Thank you, Olivier. Tijani, please.
Yes. Tijani speaking. I agreed with Sylvia's proposal. I agreed to dedicate a part of the secretariat meeting to the Atlas II. It's because I want the RALOs to see how ready are the ALSs and to exchange experience in this field. It is different from the Atlas II preparation work. So it is a part of the secretariat meeting dealing with what each RALO did to make the ALSs ready for the summit. This is the idea behind my approval of the idea of Sylvia. Thank you.
Thank you, Tijani. I agree with that. Please, Darlene.
Darlene Johnson. I totally agree with Olivier. Any extra time that I might take on my part, I'm willing to give. I also agree with Tijani to hear what the RALOs are doing to prepare their ALSs. However, I would also encourage perhaps the secretariat's group to be in communication with the Atlas II group to communicate those needs to the Atlas II group so that they can be working on them, and then perhaps have some kind of report coming back to us. I feel like I'm wearing two hats here because I'm in both groups, and I feel like I'm talking to myself. But but really, that's important. And to say this is a requirement, or this is what we would expect, and this is what we would expect in a meeting at the next face-to-face meeting. So could we please have a report on this, and what are you doing? And I think then we could perhaps, maybe, hopefully, cut down on the length of the time of the meeting if we can have this conversation online prior to that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Darlene. Okay, so we are off of time. Heidi, please.
Okay, this is Heidi, thank you. Just to clarify, so you're asking for to have the Atlas II Organizing Committee be in contact with the Cross-Railo Secretariat prior to Buenos Aires, and then in Buenos Aires have a joint meeting, perhaps of 90 minutes to 2 hours. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, great. So let me go ahead and I'll send a quick note to Eduardo and to Olivier, and they can respond then. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Heidi, and thank you all for your time and for your patience with my English. It was a pleasure to be with you, and I think we are done here. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Hey, everyone.
Bye, all.
Thank you, everyone. The meeting is adjourned and the audio will now be disconnected. Thank you for joining.